Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
Colorado is headed back to the U.S. Supreme Court trying to keep state tax dollars from going to religious schools that discriminate. But today, Democratic Governor Jared Polis took a victory lap for opting Colorado into President Trump's tax credit program that could also support religious schools that discriminate. Our Marshall Zellinger asked the governor if that squares.
When the president signed H.R. 1, the big beautiful bill last summer, Democratic Governor Jared Polis called a special session to balance the state's budget because it was suddenly $1 billion short based on tax changes made in the federal budget. Yet today, Polis touted one part of H.R. 1 that he has voluntarily opted Colorado into, a program that provides federal tax credits for donations to charities that fund school scholarships.
The bill that this was contained in is one that I certainly would have voted against. It was the same bill that cut Medicaid and did a lot of other things. But with this provision, resources for our schools, we want to take advantage of that.
Colorado currently restricts state preschool tax dollars from being used by private and religious schools that discriminate. In a way, the federal tax credit program Polis has opted into means federal tax dollars could indirectly flow to private and religious schools.
How do you reconcile your support for a federal tax credit scholarship that can flow to religious schools with your opposition to state preschool dollars going to religious schools that may discriminate?
That's a great question, Marshall. So one is what we do with state resources. The second is donor money.
Here's how the new federal tax credit would work. Anyone can contribute to a charity that offers scholarships and then get a federal tax credit up to $1,700. That scholarship could be for after-school programs, tutoring, and even tuition for private and religious schools.
Sure. There are some that think you shouldn't get any deduction for giving to certain nonprofits. I think it's a very dangerous road to go down because then you have kind of government determining what's worthy.
Colorado is the first state with a Democrat governor to opt in. This week, New York's Democratic governor said that state would also opt in.
You can give to what I might or you might think is the worst possible church that only allows people of a certain race and certain sexual orientation, and they could even discriminate based on whatever they want. They're still tax deductible under current law.
Polis said today he'll even go to other Democrat-led states that opt out and recruit donations to charities that benefit Colorado scholarships. The tax credit starts January 2027. The governors of Kansas and Kentucky, both Democrats, vetoed legislation to opt in, but the Republican lawmakers in those states overrode the veto, so those Democrat-led states will be opting in.
Here's the part of it that I don't quite get. This pass-through nonprofit that issues the scholarships, who's going to be in the business of doing that?
Well, they're supposed to be called SGOs, scholarship-granting organizations. I believe the critics believe you would have far-right or religious-based organizations propping up charities that would funnel the money directly to private and religious schools. And so that's where the pass-through.
That would be, that they think that's going to be the pass-through.
And it could benefit public schools also if you have somebody who wants the after-school programs or something that costs outside of the school day. Mm-hmm. It could help fund that as well.
All right. Marshall, thanks for taking the question to the governor. The police department's cashing in on speed cameras. Sure hate to see our Steve Steger drive into town. His reporting on the speed trap in Kersey forced that town to issue refunds. Then Hudson rolled out a legally questionable speed camera setup, and Steve was on it like flies on excrement. State legislators, they seem to have had enough too, because the town of Hudson's been sending out tickets like they're making gobs of money off of them or something. The police chief says one in five drivers that passes the new camera on County Road 49 is getting popped with a ticket, about 1,000 tickets a day. Drivers say they were blindsided by the new ticket trap because Hudson didn't do the required 30-day warning period. Hudson says they did the month of warnings a year and a half ago when they first put speed cameras in a different location. State legislators are working on some new rules for this stuff. Republican State Senator Byron Pelton does not buy Hudson's argument.
If you move the camera and you replace it someplace else, you have to put up the warning period. You have to put up all that stuff. That's what we're getting at. People have to know where these are going up. So you just, these aren't just automatic gotcha tickets.
Senator Pelton says the speed cameras are supposed to be a public safety tool. He says these gotcha tickets undermine the goal of public safety. Bill's already passed the Senate. House committee moved it forward to a full House vote today. The sound of grunts from a gym have neighbors in Denver disgruntled, so much so they filed a lawsuit. Our Spencer Soyser looks at what it would take to get them gruntled about the situation.
It's important to know your neighbors, but sometimes when the walls are too thin, you know too much about your neighbors. Kids, earmuffs. A Denver judge may soon rule on how early is too early for moaning and groaning. Three neighbors on the third floor of the Bovalon condo building in Cap Hill have heard enough of the noises coming out of the powerlifting gym below them. The gym opens at 5 a.m. In a lawsuit filed in district court, the neighbors say Summit Strong Gym, quote, allows loud noises and other disturbances to emanate from its business during early mornings. The lawsuit describes the banging of metal on metal, crashing of weights on the floor, and the sounds of weightlifters groaning, yelling, and struggling to lift weights. The neighbors say the gym owner promised better soundproofing when the gym moved into the space. They say it wasn't enough. Denver code dictates when you can start yelling for mercy. Gyms can't top 50 decibels outside a home before 7 a.m. But condo complaints fall into a murkier part of the ordinance. And how loud even is 50 decibels? We've got a digital sound level meter, and traffic at 9th and Lincoln, where the gym is, comes in at about 75 decibels. A normal inside conversation, like at your lunch table, comes out at about 65 decibels. And dropping a 50-pound dumbbell onto a rubber mat is somewhere between 70 to 80 decibels.
And no, we're not gonna measure my grunting.
The lawsuit says the neighbors can't sleep, can't work from home, can't even eat dinner in peace. So if you've ever wondered, did the neighbors just hear us? Let this lawsuit teach you. Yes, they heard everything.
We reached out to the neighbors and their attorney, who declined to comment. So did the gym owner. Never heard back from the building's HOA. I tried to ask some people around here if they wanted to help us measure the sound of a grunt in this sound level meter thing that Marshall had on his desk. They didn't seem very into it.
Yeah, no, I imagine HR would not be very into that. So obviously we know that there are thin-skinned people in the world. We don't know if that's involved in this situation. Do we have any reason to believe that the Bovalon is a particularly thin-walled building?
I walked in there today. We weren't allowed to film. It didn't seem overly thin-walled. In fact, it looked like a very nice gym.
Yeah.
Also didn't sound that loud, but I didn't hear anybody grunting.
I want to know how this is resolved. I feel very personally invested in it. I don't know if you are, but I would like to know how this turns out. So please stay on top of this for us, Spencer.
Will do.
There's no such thing as a bad day to help somebody else. But the kids at Swigert International set aside one day each year to do nothing but that. Their service day allows their students to work on a variety of causes around the community. The third graders built a butterfly memorial garden today in remembrance of their friend Pippa, who died after battling neuroblastoma. And classmates wrote letters to kids in the hospital, which will be delivered by the nonprofit Morgan Adams Foundation, which supports families with kids facing illnesses and pays for some cutting-edge medical research into pediatric cancer. I've been able to join the Swigert community for a few years now to kick off their service day by talking about how you, a bunch of grown-ups, do good each week in Colorado through your Word of Thanks microgiving. And this year, Swigert asked if maybe we could all work together on a project. So let's do it, in remembrance of their friend Pippa and in support of every kid in Colorado fighting cancer. This week's Word of Thanks microgiving campaign supports the Morgan Adams Foundation and the physician scientists in Colorado who are researching new treatments for pediatric cancer. I told the kids at Swigert this morning that while they're building that butterfly memorial garden and writing those letters, that a whole bunch of people from across Colorado are tonight going to pool their $5 donations to help. Because little acts of care and kindness get big in a hurry when a bunch of people do it together. The Morgan Adams Foundation funds some of the most promising pediatric cancer treatments being developed by physician scientists here in Colorado to help kids here in Colorado. The nonprofit specializes in seed funding to turn doctors' ideas into treatments and also bridge grants so that promising research can be kept alive when it loses other funding. Pediatric cancer research is a small share of cancer research across the country, and therefore the treatments often lag behind options for adult cancers. The Morgan Adams Foundation, right in our backyard, is making a significant difference, and we can help. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. I'll send you the link to join me and a bunch of others in donating. 7,500 of you have signed up to make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. You put in your info one time each month. Your donation, amount of your choice, is automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. You help everybody, and we expect that that'll add almost $50,000 to each campaign this month.
I want them to feel seen and to know that we know that they deserve to have a wonderful Teacher Appreciation Week.
Yes, indeed, it is Teacher Appreciation Week. Maybe instead of another Starbucks gift card, we might follow a district suggestion to give educators a well-deserved break. That big spring snow is gone, sun's out, lots of beautiful things are blooming. Certainly sounds like good news to me. Our favorite Friday tradition rolls on next. You can start making reservations today for the Mount Blue Sky Recreation Area, you know, what we also used to call Mount Evans. Highest paved road in the U.S. has been closed since Labor Day 2024. While workers fixed some issues and rebuilt portions of the road, it will reopen to drivers on May 22nd. Reservations can be made up to 30 days in advance. And under the new agreement with the Arapahoe National Forest and the Denver Mountain Parks Foundation, Federal Lands recreation passes will no longer be accepted. There are some opportunities to get free passes through Clear Creek County as well as Denver Public Libraries. Chris Bianchi's along, and we were saying, Chris, that today's an opportunity to enjoy some warmth without looking over our shoulder for wildfires.
Yeah, nice not getting pinged every 30 minutes from watch duty, right? It is so nice that we, because of all that moisture, all that beneficial water that we talked about, we basically doubled along the I-25 corridor our year-to-date precipitation from our, this week's storm alone. Point being, this weekend, we don't have to worry about fire danger. Right now, it's beautiful outside, near 70 degrees here in Denver. But then tomorrow night, and kind of an unusual risk for some stronger storms tomorrow night, because this will be after dark primarily, but there's a level one risk. One or two storms across the Northeast Plains may turn severe hail and wind threat for tomorrow as a cold front will move through. We're dry tonight, but tomorrow night, a few of those showers and those storms between about 6 p.m. and 3 a.m. tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, I should say, tomorrow night and Sunday morning. And that seven-day forecast, Mother's Day looking fantastic. We'll clear things up behind that front, upper 60s, Mother's Day brunch, outside, go for it, and then we're back into the 80s. For most of next week, we'll be near 90 next Wednesday. You might remember this past Wednesday, you might remember the fact that we had 6 inches of snow in Denver, already long gone, and we'll be 90 next Wednesday. So just a tad different.
Denver Public Schools has been celebrating its teachers with a new twist this year, giving teachers a chance to step away from the classroom while the community steps in to help. Our Byron Reed has that.
Teaching is more than a full-time job.
I will say in between 8 and 10 hours daily.
But fifth grade teacher Leonard Gonzalez couldn't imagine doing anything else.
I'm very excited, very happy, very thankful as well.
Gonzalez is a teacher at Oakland Elementary in Denver.
Thank you.
Where they're cooking up something special for their teachers.
We're going to have lunch with our co-workers and colleagues. So that's exciting for me.
Denver Public Schools is celebrating Teacher Appreciation Week, trying to find new ways to say thank you.
This is our first annual teacher tag-in. The event itself is at 24 schools with 180 non-school-based admin volunteers.
Sarah Rice is the volunteer service manager for the district throwing the parties. She says the idea is to have district leaders, staff, and volunteers step into schools to cover lunch and recess so teachers can take a much-needed break.
Our teachers are here day in, day out. They're focused on our core value of students first. And DPS Cares, the employee volunteer program, is really focused on collaboration, students first, and ultimately fun.
While volunteers stepped in, teachers stepped out to enjoy school-hosted celebrations with food, music, and sparkling cider.
This is a different day for us, so I do appreciate what they have prepared for us, and I'm very excited.
For these teachers, the day is about feeling supported for their work that's greater than a job.
I want them to feel seen and to know that we know that they deserve to have a wonderful Teacher Appreciation Week.
For next, I'm Byron Reed.
My goodness is we're growing a human variety in our garden this year. Really excited to bring her on board in June.
Takes a lot of work to grow a human. They're always a good addition to the garden, though. Your good news to take us home on a Friday is next. But not before I remind you, you can catch this program streaming each night, 6 p.m., 9 News Plus. And next is a podcast, wherever you get those. Thousands of flowers and plants, hundreds of people, and our favorite Friday question. What's your good news? At the Denver Urban Gardens plant sale, for the first time at City Park Greenhouse.
This is such a huge thing for us, for Denver Parks and Rec. We've never done this sale before. My team has been working night and day. We're talking around 40,000 plants.
My good news is we're growing a human variety in our garden this year. Really excited to bring her on board in June.
I'm getting married on the 13th, so we're really excited.
My good news is my mother and my stepfather are both the healthiest they've been in a while. My mom got a knee replacement, living a second life, and my stepdad is not cancer-free, but is doing really, really well with his cancer journey.
My good news is that I'm having my second baby this Tuesday.
My good news is that I coach a high school rugby team that's a mix of Foothills High Schools, and we're in the championship tomorrow for high school rugby at Infinity Park.
My good news is we're ready to start planting and get the gardens ready.
He knows what he's doing?
He knows what he's doing.
I know what I'm doing a little bit here.
Yeah. He's been instilling his wisdom in gardening to me, so I just it's a hobby we've been doing, and I've been learning a lot from him.
Good news is I'm the new permanent executive director at Denver Urban Gardens.
My good news is that the gardens are going to be blooming super well this year for Denver Parks and Recreation.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day indeed. Marilyn's here to instill some feedback.
Here you go.
Thank you much. That's next. Feedback tonight from Rich, not happy, says, I've been a fan until today. Your reporting on the gym was incomplete. Gym owner did nothing wrong. He got the permits needed and was granted a lease. Rich, it seems like we were watching different reports. I don't think we said the gym owner did anything wrong. We were just telling you what happened, right? There were the lovely folks at that nice apartment complex. They presumably were quite gruntled with the entire situation. Then there was the grunting, and they became disgruntled, and they decided to sue over it, which is pretty wild. Again, I'm not really sure how you came up with that, but anyway. Text, Kyle, did you wish Chris Bianchi a happy World Donkey Day? I did not. I didn't know it was a thing. I just looked it up. World Donkey Day is celebrated annually May 8th to recognize the hard work, intelligence, and contributions of donkeys to human history. I feel really bad now. And Michael, with good news, says, got cataract surgery this week. I'm enjoying the myriad of spring colors. Good news indeed. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.